Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. Fresh off the Q train from downtown Rogues and TJ coming to you from the iHeart Studios in Midtown Manhattan. Wherever you are, glad you are with us. And this is going to Rogues be the final podcast episode that we're recording before your birthday.
Oh, that's right.
You will be a new woman the next time we work in studio together. Wow.
I'll be officially in my 50s. Oh, that sounds different than saying I just turned 50. I'll be in my 50s.
Is that different?
Yeah, I'm in the thick of it. Like, I'm immersed.
Does your voice get deeper?
In my 50s. yes. No, this is birthday week, so it's exciting.
Yeah? What are you looking forward to? And for the new year, the new, you know, 51?
I'm looking forward to looking forward to things, and that is actually true, because last year was a tough year. It's a big birthday, but it was a tough year, and so I didn't feel like I even had the bandwidth to hope and to dream and to be excited and to look forward to. When you're stuck in something and you're overwhelmed by circumstances, you don't necessarily, I think that's one of the losses, is that you kind of lose hope and excitement about what's coming. And I feel that now. So yes, this is, I'm excited about turning 51, and birthday week is probably going to turn into birthday month, just letting you know.
That I will be by your side for the entirety of it. But it's so cool. It's one of the things I say about you all the time, and I say it to you privately, but it is one of the cutest things about you, is that you get giddy about the smallest things. No matter how old you get, you have this kid-like exuberance about the smallest of things, and it's fun to watch. Everybody should be like that.
Oh, well, thank
you. It's very cool to watch.
I appreciate that.
Now, we are turning now, we're here in New York, but we got into it about a story out of Florida. And I say got into it because it just, I guess it's polarizing. You're gonna have an opinion about this story. It has to do with a mom down in Florida who's, she hasn't been banned from her kid's school necessarily. Please explain.
Well, her vehicles have been.
So
might be the best way to put it. Yes, a Florida mom. And this, we were kind of laughing because we've been re-immersing ourselves into headlines now, getting back into the news cycle. And this one really stood out and was a talker. Michelle Klein's kids go to this private Christian school, Liberty Christian Prep, I believe. And for a couple years now, she's worked at the same place, had the same decal on her car highlighting where she works. And it didn't seem to be a problem until it became one. And it's because of where Michelle Klein works.
Well, she has, like millions of people do, actually, an OnlyFans.com page. She goes by Piper Fawn. And the decal on the back of her vehicles says just that. It doesn't have anything illicit or like that. It doesn't have any images of any kind. It just says OnlyFans.com/Piper Fawn. That is on the back of her vehicle. She has been dropping her kids off at this school, and only recently now has the school told her, do not come onto campus or in front of campus. We'll get specifics because Michelle Klein is standing by to talk to us here. Don't bring the vehicle on campus to where the other kids can see it. You need to go across the street to drop your kids off.
Which Michelle says causes some safety concerns for her with her kids crossing the street. There isn't a crossing guard. There isn't a place where she feels comfortable. So there's several issues at play here. But a lot of people questioning why now it's not okay for her to bring her vehicle on. And what harm does it actually do? Where does the school get to say, hey, this is what we want? And, you know, does majority rule here? There's a lot of questions. A lot of people have been mulling around. And so let's bring Michelle Klein onto the podcast. Now, Michelle, thank you for joining us from Florida. What have the past, I was going to say, few days, what have they been like for you with now national, international attention focused on you and your vehicle's decals?
It's funny because I think the perception of how we would be or what we are is different. We're just normal people. We're just a family of five living, doing our thing. And yeah.
Okay. Let's get some of the timeline right. You, how long, first of all, have you had an OnlyFans page of your own?
I've had the page for probably 3 years.
Okay. Now, I know some of our folks that don't know, it is a site that's geared towards creators who want to use more explicit or sexually engaging content. But it doesn't mean that everybody on the page has something illicit, explicit on their particular pages. So you tell us what types of things you do have on your OnlyFans page.
I mean, I'll be honest, mine is definitely explicit. And I was, you know, I told the news that as well. It definitely is. I'm not on there, you know, bake cookies. So it's definitely explicit material. However, it can be looked at. I mean, I'm sure there's every point of view we could always give on this. But for me, it's just my husband and I. I don't have anyone else joining us. Never have, never will. That's not our thing. We're not into like swinging or, you know, sharing and swapping. Like, it's just the two of us. And before we got into the site, it was always something we kind of did for fun. You know, just the two of us, we'd send pictures back and forth, videos, whatever, you know. And then I had, people around me that were talking about it a few years ago. And we were like, I don't know if we want to get into that. So then we would edit my pictures and I would hide my face, cover my tattoos. And then that just became so much time in editing. And we kind of had this idea and this come to Jesus meeting, so to speak, ironically. And we were like, you know what? Let's just kind of make it to where we're, you know, like it's either put our foot in and go all the way or don't. And so we just did it. And then we got the decal probably about a year into it. We got the decals on the cars. And yeah, drove for 2 years in the school. No one had an issue. And then all of a sudden.
So then at what point did you find out that someone had an issue? How did you find out there was a problem?
It was approximately 3 weeks ago, roughly. It was pretty recent. A angry mom sent me a Facebook message. And at first, she was just, you know, saying, I saw this behind your car on Tuesday. It was a couple days prior. And she's like, I don't think it's appropriate for you to put this on there. And my response is, you know, basically, mind your business. I feel like she was saying, I was livid. I saw it. I had a problem. I. But she never once said, my kids questioned it. My kids wouldn't know what it was. She never once brought up the kids having an issue. It was just her having an issue. And I feel like, I'm not saying kids don't know what it is, but my kids don't get in there and look in, you know, at cars when I'm pulling up for drop off. We don't have time to do that. We drop off, we're there for 5 minutes and we're out. Like, they don't sit there and look at cars and, what, mommy, what's that? What does that mean? You know, we don't do that. And then in pickup line, the kids aren't there. It's the mom sitting in the car. So they don't see it until I drive away. You know, I really feel like it started from that.
Now, how long have your kids have been, you said 2 years, you've been doing drop off pickup this school for 2 years, right? Without a problem. What are your kids?
Yeah, with the tech, yeah.
How old are your kids?
So I have three. My oldest is 14. She doesn't go there anymore. Okay. She's homeschooled, does her own thing. She's actually like ahead of herself. She's going to graduate in like 2 years. Like, she's crazy ahead. Okay. My other two are 11 and 12. So they're elementary and then middle school.
Okay. Have they had any issues at school? Is anyone picking on them? Have they complained at all to you about it?
My fifth grader had more talk in her class than my eighth grader did,
wow.
Which to me, I think is kind of crazy because that tells me that I feel like that's parents complaining about it and then the kids are passing it on. Because my fifth grader, Mark, I can tell you right now, she doesn't have a clue about what's going on. Like, other than what I tell her, like, they don't talk about it. I feel like people around them bring more light to it and discuss it way more than we do. They just don't really care, you know, until it's brought up to them or thrown in their face. They don't care. And I've just instructed them, like, if we get thrown up at school, we don't talk about it. We just say, we're not going to discuss it. We just, you let it be, you know, everyone's going to have an opinion. We don't discuss it. And so far, it's been okay.
Well, that's really good to hear, because I was going to ask you, Michelle, how much do your kids know what it is that you do for a living? Like, what do you tell them? And has that changed since all of this?
Sound funny, but we just say sexy time, because that's what they started calling it. So they know that it's sexy time between mommy and daddy, and they know that we like to film it. They do think it's like, ew, gross, you know, of course, because we're the parents. Of course, they don't think it's like funny or love it, you know. But at the end of the day, like, they know that, and I'm honest with them about what it is, and that's all we really say. And we do have a studio that I do outside of the house, so I don't do any filming. It's not like you walk in my bedroom and there's tripods and cameras and lights set up, you know. There's nothing like that. My house is very normal. We have a normal household, normal daily whatever. I when they go to school, I go to work for a couple hours, and that's how I spend my time. So, I mean, so far, they really, I mean, I had to be honest with them and tell them, because I look at things where the delivery of things means a lot. And I feel like if they're delivered this by a classmate versus hearing it from me, it can come out differently and they can have a different perspective on it. So I feel like if I kind of told them ahead of time before it ever got brought up a couple of years ago, you know, when I got the decals on the car, that's when I let the kids know. So, okay. But they handled it okay so far.
Michelle, obviously you're not doing anything illegal. Obviously, mm-hmm. the site is up and wildly popular. I read that mm-hmm. OnlyFans brought in $5+ billion in revenue from users. I think it was 22 when they last reported. So this thing is popular. You can make money doing mm-hmm. it. A lot of people do it. So that's mm-hmm. that's not the issue. So is the issue, in your opinion, not really a disapproval of the decal, but all of these people are really expressing a disapproval of you and what you do and how you're making money?
I think it's funny that just now it's coming out. Like, I understand, if I'll be honest, if I would have had on for a month and I had this kind of blow up, I probably would have taken it off. I probably would have been like, okay, clearly the people are really offended. This is not going to be okay. I got to remove it. But I went a solid 2 years and almost two full school years, and no one said a word to me.
So why now?
I mean, and I've actually had meetings with the principal about completely different things, just grades or whatever, behavior, nothing else, you know, bad. And never once is this brought up. Not one time. And so that's why I can tell the school didn't have the issue. It wasn't the school with the problem. It was the parent that just complained and got her viewers, you know, talking. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't care about being on campus. It's not really a problem for me, to be honest, to walk my kids across. Like, I've heard a lot of misconceptions like, oh, you're too lazy to walk your kids across. That's not the point. The fact of the matter is that since August, there's been 3 wrecks right there at this intersection where the people pull out of school. The last one was right before Christmas. A gentleman with a 7-year-old in the car got T-boned, and it was a pretty severe accident. So my thing, and there's multiple neighborhoods nearby the kids walk from. So honestly, it's not even just about my kids, because whether I'm there or not, that's irrelevant. I just think there's other kids that are here that we should at least in place like a pedestrian crosswalk, something along the lines right here. You know, they do it in downtown and they do it in bigger areas all the time. Why, how hard would it be to put the little flashing light where, you know, recognizes someone there and people stop and let a kid cross?
What has the school specifically told you? What do they want from you, and what have the conversations been like?
So other than the first couple emails that I got just basically telling me not to come on campus, I haven't heard anything since the broke out in the press and everything we haven't discussed. I've respectfully not even mentioned like the principal's name. You know, I'm not out to badger them or to complain to them. And honestly, I didn't ask for this fight. Like, I just feel like I've come 3 years into it. Why back down at this point? You know, if I back down at this point, that's like everything I've ever done, all the hate I've ever put up with is for nothing. So why not? Like, I'm not going to stop now. You know what I mean? I've already had it out there. So now I'm not going to quit just because one mom got mad and got offended. But there is other issues, you know, that are deeper for her. I think hers honestly started out with she supposedly had been complaining about this for a while. And I just got told 3 weeks ago. And that's what she was telling me. You know, you've been asked multiple times to take this down. Well, no, I haven't. I mean, I had the one email that got sent literally approximately 3 weeks ago and just said, we ask that you don't bring your car on campus anymore. And then the words they used were it was causing disharmony in the school. So...
You mentioned this this other parent, this mom. Is this someone you had a relationship with prior to all this happening?
I had never met her or knew of her. It was funny. Last year, my son and her son actually ran cross country together, and they were really good buddies. He's a year younger than my son, but they're really good buddies and really good terms. I'd always met the dad, but the mom was never there, so I had no idea that this was even the mom. And even when I lashed back at her, it wasn't really, honestly, until we saw on the news and my son said, oh, that's so-and-so's mom. Like, I know her. And so that's kind of how I even realized that, you know, our kids were friends last year. And what was funny is, like, when I was going to track meets last year, all these cross-country meets, I had my car then with the logo on it. And her husband was freely speaking with us and talking to us and friendly and kind and never said a word. But then now this year, she sees it and it's the world ends.
But Michelle, have you all talked? Have you actually talked since all this has gone down? Okay, do you want to talk to her, and do you think you should? Right? Parents setting an example maybe to the kids that, yeah, we can work out our differences kind of thing.
We actually had a third lady from the school that I actually have dealt with by volunteering and things of that sort. And she actually reached out to me and she was like, hey, I just want to know that I may not personally agree with you, but I also don't agree with the school either. And she kind of turned it into twist, was like, I think you two should come together with the amount of social media that you both have, come together and voice the issues about the school. And that's honestly what I ever care about. I don't need the media. I wasn't looking for like a payout. I'm definitely not going to try to sue the school and never contact a lawyer. That was never, I don't care what it's that. Even if I could, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to set that precedence for anyone. I just simply am just fighting for my rights and just defending myself like anyone would. You know, I want my kids to understand that they can stand up for themselves. You know, when they feel that they're doing something right and they're not hurting anyone, then I feel like they should defend themselves. I can respect how people feel, but I also feel like people saying, you know, oh, you're soliciting sex to kids at a school. Well, I didn't purposely put the logo on to take it to school and solicit. It's just on there permanently and it goes everywhere I go. I don't necessarily try to pick up people from Walmart either, but it's on my car when I go there.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today, and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Would you consider, did you consider at any point saying, all right, I'll cover it up when I pull into school? Was that something you ever even thought you might do?
I mean, when I first had last year put it on and I drove in, I honestly was prepared for this kind of backlash back then. I was prepared for right away be like, whoa, people like, why you're not, what's going on? You know, and then I probably would have just removed it because it would have been an immediate issue. But now the fact that it's been so long and now just one person just wants to say something and I don't know, I guess I'm being defensive. And to be honest with you, it's really not that much of an issue for me to walk my kids across the street. I don't really mind doing that. That's not the point. The more or less the point is just, okay, if you're going to have me do that, well, then while I'm doing it, you should look at the safety for all the kids crossing the street. You know, consider this for everyone. And it's like, if nothing else, if all this hate that I'm getting, if it comes out to where they do put some kind of safety there for the kids to cross, then I feel like I've done my job and I'll take the heat for that. You know, I don't care. Like, ultimately, that's what's saving the kids.
You know, Michelle, what does a win look like in this situation? And it doesn't have to be a win could just be standing up for yourself and not backing down. But I mean, what is a resolution between you and the school, or even you and the school and this particular parent? What's a resolution that you would feel good about?
I honestly am okay with at the end of the school year most likely pulling my kids out, and I have considered just, you know, like doing homeschooling and then having a private tutor a couple of days a week just to avoid the issues. I'm not here trying to stir drama, you know, like there's an event that's happening this week at my kid's school that one of my daughters is having a chapel service and obviously I want to go to it. So I'm going to have to either park off campus or I'm kind of an asshole. So I kind of, what I will do is I'll go get a black towel and just cover up OnlyFans in the back of my car, tape it on there and still leave Piper Fawn showing. And then I'll go to the school and I'll participate and then I'll leave. But then it's not showing a link. It's just simply showing a name. So, I mean, I'm kind of that jerk. I mean, it's,
you're my
honestly,
kind of petty. That's my kind of petty. I love it.
I am. I was tempted, honestly, to get a t-shirt made and just say Piper Fawn across the back with no logo, just my name.
That's funny.
But it's like, I'm sure I'm already going to get hates from hell, you know, awful looks when I walk in there to this event this week. So, but at the end of the day, like, I don't walk in school wearing hoochie clothes. You know what I mean? I don't portray myself as trashy. Like, I wear normal things. I wear, you know, I'm modest. I don't try to like show my body off everywhere we go. It's not like that. It's basically, this is something, yes, it's been advertised to be a big deal, but I don't openly just show everything. You know, I'm not open with myself in that way. So it's like, work is work. And then when I'm with my family, I'm normal. I'm a mom. Like, and I think that's a misconception. People think that I have this portrayed, you know, character, and I show it all the time, but I can separate the two. And I think that's why people don't realize.
I was just imagining, I mean, I know you were kind of going through it in your head too, what it'll be like now. So yes, maybe you cover up part of what you have to cover up in your car to get into the actual school area. But when you're physically there, what are you anticipating? I mean, from the other parents?
No, I think it's going to be awful. I think it's going to be super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I'm not one that ever likes confrontation, but also if it comes to me, I will handle it if I need to. I'm not scared of it. I won't back down. I'll defend myself. And I've always told my kids, even when you're wrong, I'll defend you the best I can, you know, because that's what I'm your mom. So I believe in defending our rights and what we feel is right. And I'm not saying like, go crazy, like hire a lawyer type, get my rights, you know, whatever. But I just saying, defend yourself when you need to. I'm sure it's going to be super awkward. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of looks because people just recognize me. And if they don't have to, even if they don't see the car, they still recognize me. And at the end of the day, I'm here for my kids. So, I mean, and I was laughing last night. My kids are doing like a little dance thing on Guitar Hero, whatever it is, on the TV. And my parents were over and we're watching them and they're playing like life is normal. And I looked at them and I said to my parents, I'm like, it's so funny because if you ask anyone else, my kids are traumatized and just horrible and just have this terrible, you know, emotional distress right now. And that's really not it. Like, look at these kids, like how happy they are. Like, they're fine. They don't care about what goes on until people give it life and bring it to them and talk about it. You know, it's like, and that's what I want. I keep trying to say is like, the more it's brought up and made about a big deal, the bigger it's going to last and the longer it's going to continue. And like the fact that my fifth grader got talked about the next day with her friends and my eighth grader didn't, I'm like, that tells you right there, that's parents talking. Like, they're making it worse. They're saying they don't want me to bring it out to their kids, but then they talk about it in front of them, and they're doing it, not me.
Michelle, what is I still, the part about it being super awkward at an event for your kids now, again, people around town have known. They knew about your site, but mm-hmm. you think now, just because the news is out there, they've been aware. We all been to PTA meetings. People buzz, they talk, they gossip. Everybody's known this. So mm-hmm. why would they be giving you looks now just because it hit the news?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's, well, it's because too, the news has betrayed it, and people look at it as like, I'm just, you know, just out to get a buck, and I'm trying to, you know, solicit my kids or exploit my kids to make a buck. And that was never my intention. When they contacted me, I could have just backed down and said no comment, but I chose to defend myself because, yes, you're right. It has already been out there. It's already been on my car. It's not a new thing that I'm just like trying to see how it goes. Like, it's been there. So I was never out to make a buck off of anything, but I just felt like I needed to defend myself.
Because it is a Christian school, and I'll assume then you wanted your children to have Christian values as a part of their learning. What do you think the takeaway for them is watching all of this happen, and what do you want to make sure they know as their mother? I mean, that's got to be a tough spot to be in.
Absolutely. And to be honest, to give you a little bit of backstory, is we actually, the church that's affiliated with the school, we actually attended that church for a long time. And I honestly grew up Church of Christ. So I was very, my parents are strict. My parents don't agree with what I'm doing. They don't disown me for it. Like I said, they were in my house last night. So they definitely, you know, they don't love it. And they're like, you know, you're raised better than this. But they also know that I'm an adult and they can't really control that. They just have to, like, you know, just be there for me for any issues. I realize it's a school and I know there's kids, like I recognize all of that. But in the day, like you said, it's just a link. I don't have an explicit picture up there. And it's blocked by a paywall. You know, I mean, Pornhub is free access. Anyone can type it in and it's there. At least mine, you can't see anything. There's not even any dirty wording until you pay. You can't see anything. All it says is my name and a brief bio, which is very simple and very modest. Until you pay and use a credit card and have an ID. So I feel like if a kid gains to that point, then that's the parent's fault, because why are they allowing that to happen? You're supposed to be 18 to access the stuff.
All right, Michelle, this is the point where I'll let you speak to the folks, because folks that are listening to this, there are some in a camp of saying, lady, come on, just take the thing off the back. It's a school. It's not a big deal. Even though it doesn't say anything explicit, it is still mm-hmm. the advertisement sending people to something that does have explicit. Come on, lady, just take the thing. Okay, talk to those folks for a moment who say, we can solve. Why is it not okay to just, you know, cave and concede that some people don't want to see that around the school?
And I respect that. And that's why I've had no issue parking off campus and just doing what they ask. You know, I realize they don't love it. So I'm not, that's why I'm not fighting, trying to say, I want to be on campus. I want to do it. I've just respected what they've asked. I've never gone back and forth and argued with him. I just have said, okay. And ever since he asked us, we've been parking, you know, off campus to do so. And again, as a mom, and maybe prior to not being in this and not having the different perspective on this that I do now, I can't say that I would disagree with these women and the parents that are feeling this way. I can't say that I wouldn't have been the same thing, like, really? But I also am not the one to run my mouth, and really, I also, at the end of the day, I kind of tell, like, well, that's you do you, that's your thing. But so I don't disagree that they feel a type of way. I'm not knocking them for having that feeling. I mean, they're entitled to that, just like I'm entitled to feel how I want to feel. And again, I was never there to push it on anybody. It's just simply, it was on my car because I do drive around a lot and it is good advertising. It was never meant to affect the school. You know, it was just done to just benefit my business, you know, and like I said, this has been on there so long and it's like, it's just funny to just now come out, you know, to now be a problem.
Michelle, how's business now?
Really good. Really, really good. And that's what's funny, is because one lady made a comment on one of the news posts, and honestly, I don't really give into those. I just ignore most of it. I don't pay attention to the comments, and I know people are going to hate, and I've prepared for that. I mean, it's been pretty brutal about the, oh, you're such a terrible mom, you know, like, you're disgusting, and like, okay, you know, I'll take it. the funniest thing is, I don't know if I can say this in your podcast, but they'll say, like, you're a whore. I'm like, well, technically that means if I sleep around multiple people, and I'm not. I'm only doing it with my husband who I'm married to. So technically that's not the proper term. But if you want to say trashy, but you can't really call me that because I'm technically not that.
Get your insults correct.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're going to call me something, get it right, at least. But my thing is, like, they keep giving it life, and it just keeps growing. And it's like, I obviously didn't expect that, plan on that. I simply was just coming to defense to my own self. I had no idea, like, what it was going to become. I mean, I had an idea I would obviously get an increase, but never what it is. I didn't expect it.
How big of a one? Can we ask how big of an increase?
I can say, as far as, I would say, well, as far as money, it's several thousands, like more than quadrupled.
Okay. Yeah. But you can tell how many new subscribers or new views to your page. Again, I'm not sure. Listen to me. I have no idea how this works. But I actually don't.
Subscribers, I went from a few hundred to like several thousand.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
so,
wow.
To give you an idea.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah. It's crazy. Like, I had no idea that it was going to be like that. And right. I mean, again, I wasn't out looking for a buck. I mean, I know people say, like, oh, this is a publicity stunt. She planned this, but I really didn't. I just, like, it came at me about needing something, and I went back and defended it, and it was like, oh, no, I'm defending myself. And then before I knew it, it was this huge news story. Like, I didn't really realize it was going to take such life.
Yeah, she planned it. That's a long game. Two years this has been in the making.
I'm curious, is this your only source of income? Explain to us how much you count on this page to pay your bills.
So it's always been like an extra. It's always basically always paid my studio bills. So it always would cover my studio rent, my utilities there, anything I needed there as far as furniture, lighting, upgrades, everything there. And then it's always been extra. So technically, I would always pay that and my house mortgage as well. So basically just kind of covers all my big bills. So then anything extra that I make as far as, because I do cut hair as well. I've been cutting hair since I was 16. So I do that as well. I incorporate some topless haircuts. So that kind of took a life of its own and made some money. I did a few events actually with like Trucks Gone Wild, sponsored me. I did some events with them and did, some in like a tent outside. I had to have covered up, whatever. But yeah, I've done things like that. And so that's definitely helped too. So it's not my main source that I rely on. I mean, now I could definitely just rely on it, but I haven't ever. I've always had, I like to have, not have my eggs in my basket. I like to always be hustling and kind of doing multiple things and always just be on my toes. My husband does AC work for a living as well. So he has his own business doing that. So we kind of just dabble in whatever. We don't, I don't ever want to count on one thing and just expect that other people's desires are what's going to basically pay my bills, because I know any day that could be over and tomorrow that could be done. So I don't try to depend on and expect that it's going to be there forever.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Obviously, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Michelle, you said something earlier when referencing your parents who were at your house. You say, of course, they love you, love the kids, love the family, all this, and even though they might not agree with what you're doing, but you use the phrase "raised better than this." You said you had a strict upbringing and going to the church.
I did. I was
going to
church of Christ.
And your kids now, you chose to have them at a private Christian school. Mm-hmm. So how do you, and how does anyone reconcile, right, the family members, or even maybe somewhere in your own mind at some point in recent years would have looked at someone doing what you're doing and said, that's not for me because I was raised better than this, right? People who look at you and say, that's not what you should be doing. Even having kids in the house, how do you, and help me there, I was raised in the church as well, but how do you kind of reconcile those two worlds of yours that are kind of certainly colliding?
So growing up, I was raised Church of Christ. I was in church 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and there was no missing it. And if we were out of town on Sunday, well, we had our own little church service in a hotel room. Like, we didn't miss it for the world. So if anything, when I turned around, 1920, and I kind of moved out of my parents' house, I did get out of the church a little bit because I felt a little like so pressured for my whole life of always being in it. So then I was like, obviously, as I had kids and I wanted them to be a part of it because that was my childhood growing up and it was important to me. So when we started attending this church probably 6 years ago, we weren't doing this. We were just fully into church and we were just both working normal jobs. I was in a barbershop cutting hair. He was working for an AC company. He actually took care of the air conditioning for the entire school and the church. My husband did at one point. And that became an issue. Yeah, that obviously didn't last. Once that kind of went away, that's when I kind of had a little bit of an FU attitude and like, okay, I'm putting a decal on my car. Like, that's kind of how it started because I felt like he got a little pushed out and I didn't like the way it was handled. So if you wanted the true backstory, that's kind of how it starts. Then we stopped.
Wait a second, Michelle. That was a very important detail that you just...
I don't know where to tell you on that. You guys got the first scoop on that.
You're telling me this whole thing started as a kind of a beef, if you will, between you and the church. And you just kind of did it as an FU to the... church.
Yeah, I mean, not like to the church. That sounds bad. I don't like to say that. But definitely to the school. Because ultimately what happened, without getting super long-winded about it, basically the headmaster didn't have much of a backbone. So when he was told to basically kind of push my husband out, so to speak, again, pre-OnlyFans, pre-decals, pre-all that stuff, we were fully going dedicated to the church, in every event they had. We were doing everything they could, just super involved. Going to little life groups, the preacher's house, just very, very much included. And I mean, even when I had my boob job a couple of years ago and the preacher's wife brought me food to our house for dinners, it's like we were very close. Yeah, I know.
You have great stories, Michelle.
I know. You guys are hearing all of it. that's kind of how it was. Like, we were very close with everyone in the church and we treated them like family. And to be honest, there's even more backstory. Before all this even started, probably about 3 months ago, my husband and I just reached out to the preacher, even though we weren't going there anymore, just kind of asked for some, just couples counseling, just because it's healthy and good. And we figured, why not just make our marriage stronger? He ignored the call, text, waited 3 or 4 days, and then passed them on to someone else. Here's a number of someone else you can call. So again, I felt very like, okay, like F you again, you know, I felt a little bit like shit on, like, sorry for my language. I don't know if I can say that, but I just didn't like the way I was felt. I was treated. And again, you know, I know everyone has a type of feeling about this. So yeah, I guess that's where it kind of started. They pushed him out of the AC work. And so I was like, okay, decals in the car. But then still nothing was ever said. They let it go for 2 years. And then finally it takes a mom to say something.
Michelle, let me ask you this. Do you consider yourself a Christian?
I do. I mean, because here's the way I look at it. In God's eyes, the way I was always taught and the way, you know, I always grew up was that a sin is the same. You know, we as obviously as humans and in real life, we have different levels of, you know, what's bad, and some have consequences in the law, and you break the law, you kill someone and you go to jail. But I also feel like I've learned in God's eyes that a sin is a sin, whether you lie or whether you shoot someone, you're still in God's eyes an equal sin. So like, I realize what I'm doing is sinning in God's eyes, and according to the church and Christian beliefs, I recognize that. But I also, at the end of the day, like, well, when you get on, you know, online and maybe talk ugly to someone or judge someone online because of what they've done, well, that's sinning. Well, you lie to someone, well, that's sinning. Like, we can stand and go all day long about what you've done wrong or whatever, and in God's eyes, well, it's bad. But that's where the problem is us as normal humans, we judge each other. We definitely, you know, oh, you're doing it worse because that's worse than what I'm doing and things like that.
Well, and, you know, Michelle, I was going to ask you how you, for other fellow Christians who don't think you could be a Christian and at the same time do what you do for a living. TJ and I just looked at each other when you said, I know I'm sinning. What is the actual sin that you're committing?
I think, biblically speaking, I think pornography in itself would probably be wrong if you're looking at it from the Christian aspect. The way people are looking at it is like, well, it's the privacy of your own home. You should keep your sex life with your husband private. You shouldn't share it, you know? So I guess that would be where they would come from the Christian aspect of what's sinning. I would think they would say that, well, you're selling pornography, so that's not okay. But that's my thing. I could see them being this upset if I was like, had a slew of guys on there or something. But that is, it may sound stupid or hypocritical to say, but my husband and I both agreed when we got into this that we are going to keep our morals. You know, we weren't going to be crazy. And like, sure, there's been tons of offers to make money and do other things and get thousands of dollars doing other things. But we've always said, we're not doing that. I'm not going to stoop down to anything just for money. And that's why it's so laughable that this whole thing has been made to look like I was doing it for a publicity stunt. It's like, it really wasn't. Cause I've had multiple ways to make lots of money and doing this. And I've always turned it down because I always wanted to keep my morals intact. And we've always agreed that it's a him and I thing and that's it.
Has there been anyone from the church or from the school that actually embraces you? Who, even if they,
no.
You can love the sin, but not, you can love the sinner, but not the sin, I guess. But is there, you're not getting any support from,
mm-mm.
Really? Are you in
not
church?
Not one single person has reached out. Not even my sister. My sister's heavily into the church. And her and I don't really speak, but she hasn't even reached out to me. And I just laugh because I'm like, she claims to be such a better person than me as all these other people. But I'm like, but if you call yourself a Christian, wouldn't that be your Christian duty, you know, to kind of reach out and say, hey, you know, I love you. I don't agree with what you're doing, but I wish you would do better. And I'm thinking of you or I'm praying for you or, but no, nothing.
But Michelle, you all are still in church? Regularly, you and your family?
So we're not going there. No, not as often. We definitely cut that back. Okay. Yeah, prior to even all this.
Okay. I guess that's the point. What do you do there? I'm surprised to hear that, to be honest with you. And I think a lot of other people might not be surprised to think that folks who are doing good work or who mm-hmm. shout it from the mountaintops how good they are and how mm-hmm. great a Christian they mm-hmm. are sometimes the first to reject you.
Right. Jesus, mm-hmm. if we want to go back to Christianity, Jesus was hanging out with the tax collectors and the people who mm-hmm. people considered unseemly, the prostitutes, the sinners.
Prostitute,
so, you know,
yeah.
that is the cornerstone of Christianity is to not judge mm-hmm. and to love everyone. Mm-hmm. And you can disagree. You don't mm-hmm. have to accept, but you do love and you do welcome people. So I mm-hmm. we hear you. We hear you. We were both raised mm-hmm. in faith.
Yeah, I was mm-hmm. very, just very surprised mm-hmm. to hear that. I saw your face immediately when I was asking the question, that as soon as it started coming out of my mouth asking the mm-hmm. question, you were shaking your head. Like, there was like it's definitively nobody.
Yep.
Well, and
that is surprising because I'll be honest with you. I mean, how I was raised, And if I was actively in the church right now and I heard this, I probably would reach out to someone and I would just say, you know, if I was more heavily into church, and I would probably reach out and just be like, you know what, I'm saying a prayer for you, or I'm thinking of you. You know, and that's kind of like all, and that's kind of how my mom and dad have been, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't love what you're doing, but we love you and we love your kids and we love your family and we're going to be here for you no matter what. And, you know, we're here for you as long as the kids are in harm's way. The moment they are, you know, we will step in. And that's kind of where it's at. And that's all I need. Like, I'm not asking for everyone to agree with me. You don't have to love what I do. I mean, there's always something about someone else that we don't like what they do or whatever, but that doesn't mean we have to hate them.
You know, you mentioned your sister as well. You all haven't really been speaking before this or since you started with OnlyFans?
So it was really funny, a situation with her. Probably 2 years ago, give or take, probably even before the decal, possibly. She had asked me to go to dinner one night and I said, okay, well, I knew what it was about because her and I just don't really have dates, the two of us. I mean, we definitely spend time together as families and events and get togethers and whatever holidays. But we really don't have one-on-one. So I knew when she asked me, I had a good feeling it was about this. And it was at that time I had a Snapchat, which I don't have any longer, but, I had then in the local, the local fire department, I guess, had found out about it, and they were talking about it. Well, her husband works for the city of Tavares. Well, it got back to him pretty quick. And then she's like, it's embarrassing that he's going to the fire department to just talk to people. And they're saying, hey, check out this girl. And he's like, well, that's my sister, you know, like my sister-in-law. So that was obviously an awkward situation. But when she told me, I laughed because I was like, okay. And I think she thought, like, if I knew that she knew that I was going to, oh my gosh, I'm going to stop, you know, like, and I had to accept it a long time ago that when I started doing this, it was going to be out there. I had to just be okay with that. I had to just accept, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, so that was the first time we had an issue. And then I just basically where I left it was like, well, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to do this. And then her thing to me then was like, well, what if you get someone's angry wife coming after you? Or, I'm like, that is always a possibility. All right. That is risk. You know, it's definitely risk I considered when I got into this. We really don't speak since then. We've never been super, super close, but we've always gotten along. We've always communicated, but yeah, I haven't heard from her in months. And really since then is kind of when we really did take a turn. And I really haven't talked to her at all, during this whole thing.
That's too bad.
Yeah. You learn a lot about yourself, but also where you stand with other people when you go through something like this. And has it been worth it? I'm just curious, like, now that you have experienced this in such a large way, what are your thoughts on your decisions?
Honestly, like, I always felt like these parents felt this way about me. You know, I always felt like they were kind of like pissy and just like, yeah, I don't really like her, and judgy. And I've never been on like the PTA mom to go sit in a meeting anyway, so that's never me. I will always go to an event. My kids have a field day or a chapel service or an award. Like, I'm going to be there unless they force me out. You know, no matter what, I'm going to be there. But I don't go, you know, prancing around trying to get attention. I definitely don't really volunteer anymore. I just kind of avoid all of that stuff, you know, because I'm not trying to cause issues and, as they would say, disharmony in the school. But I mean, yeah, I kind of already expected they would do that. But I mean, as monetarily speaking, yeah, it was 1,000% worth it. I would do it again. And so far, my kids have not been affected in any way. They don't come to me and act like they hate it. They're miserable. Like, they haven't really, they'll come home, they'll maybe tell me a little bit of things. Like my fifth grader, she was like, you know, oh, so-and-so was talking about today. And I was like, what did you say? She's like, I just told them to stop talking about it. She's like, they're just mad because they're afraid their mom won't let me hang out with them because they know what you do. And I was like, man, well, that's a risk. But she didn't really spend long talking about it. She quickly moved on. And they have not really voiced it to me at all, like, that it's a problem to them. So I would say so far, I'm fine with it. Now, I definitely think if he had, you know, if they had any issues or if they were really, like, struggling, then I definitely have a different opinion about that. But so far, I can say, yeah, I mean, it's been worth it.
If the adults in this situation could come together and agree that there's a lesson for not just your kids, but all the kids mm-hmm. at the school to come mm-hmm. out of this, what lesson do you see that kids, all of them at that school, could learn from what the adults are currently
doing?
Well,
the main problem is with the mom who has got upset. Honestly, the issues go way deeper. And that's why I was saying that the third mom that had kind of stepped in and kind of voiced me. And she was like, you guys should go together and really team up on this issue. Because what it stemmed from was she was complaining about this issue for a while. And apparently nothing was done about it. I don't know how long. I just know 3 weeks ago is the first time I got brought to me. But she has been complaining for months. Well, then, and then she felt like nothing was done. She felt like administration was really, neglecting her kids and just not really being there and doing their part. And so in that, I can relate to her. Mom to mom, I can understand where she's coming from. You know, when you're voicing a problem, especially when you're paying for a private school tuition, they should handle your issues and they should definitely address them. And they never once came to me and said anything to me about it. They told her that they did because she said to me that I know you've been told about this before, but I definitely had not. And obviously, if I hadn't already asked, I would already have stopped this. So this is the first it had been brought to me. So in a way, I feel for her because I understand where she's coming from.
No lesson for the kids, Michelle. Is there no lesson for the kids here?
So not really. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I got a little off of it. But honestly, I don't really know what the lesson would be with the kids here. I mean,
that's okay.
I feel like the kids are not really the ones complaining. It's parents, you know? I feel like the parents are what's making it a deal. They're making it a problem. You know, they're making it an issue because it never had been a big issue until now, until this one mom with a TikTok and a big mouth. Excuse my language, but I feel like that's how it started. So for a lesson for the kids, I really don't know. My lesson for my kids, what I'm trying to say is that when you know you're not breaking the law, you're not doing anything to harm someone else, and you're sure of that, and we know that, then defend yourself. Stand up for what you feel is right. If you think what you're doing is right and okay, no matter what it may be, you know, just because people don't like something doesn't make it wrong. And let's be honest, I mean, without sounding too cliche or cheesy, but typically when you're like making a big deal about something or you're out there, people are going to hate on you because they just are mad because they're not able to get out there or do what you're doing or whatever it is. So I feel like if you're being hated on, it's because you're doing something right. You know, everyone's going to, if you're not making the scene or not doing anything exciting, then people aren't going to talk about you. And not that I'm wanting that. I don't mean to sound like that, but I feel like there's so many people that get offended so easy these days. And I feel like if we just back down to everything everyone says, then like what kind of person are we making ourselves? And I want my kids to stand up for what they feel is right. And as long as, like I said, as long as it's not illegal and you're not breaking the law, you're not hurting someone, you know, then do what you feel is right. Like back up yourself. Don't let someone talk you down and push you away or push you down because they don't like what you're doing.
Well, Michelle Klein, we really appreciate your time. It was fascinating talking with you and hearing how you got to where you are and what your life is like now. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's Michelle, but also Piper Fawn, right? Want to make sure everyone knows your
age. And by the way, I just want to say, at 51, holy cow, I hope that I have genes that are half as good as yours.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I was hearing that. I'm like, wow, no way.
Thank you.
Michelle, thank you so much.
My husband's sneaky and trying to like peek around the camera now to see what I'm looking at.
Oh, I'm here.
We didn't know he was there too. Oh my God.
I got to see this good looking woman.
He's been sitting there quietly this whole time, Michelle. You should have let us know.
That's funny.
There he is. Well, really, God, and I hope, I guess everything, your husband's there now and we can hear his voice, but I assume, my man, everything she said, you pretty much agree with. But you know what? How has it been for you knowing a lot of the negative attention has come the direction of the woman you love?
The attention is, it's hard to wrap your head around in the beginning. We've been doing this for like 3 years now, so the attention's always been there. But now since the media has got a hold of it, it's nerve-wracking, but also exciting. And I don't know. I mean, I guess you could say we got our 15 seconds of fame, but it wasn't at the children's expense. That's the biggest thing. There was an issue at the school. We tried to bring it to the attention. We never had a resolution. And then finally, it just took one angry parent to just like not want to see the stickers anymore. And I'm sure she's already said it. The stickers have been on both cars for well over 2 years. And we've been in and that parking lot two or three times a day, you know, as long as school is going on and no issues. But I don't know. But as far as the attention, it's, I don't know. It's good and bad at the same time. With all this coverage right now, she's on her phone 24/7. So I guess that's the downfall. sometimes I don't get the one-on-one that I want at late at night because she's so busy all over this phone, you know what I mean? Like, yo, get the phone out of your hand. Let's go. Let's make a video or something. Come on, get that shit out of your hand.
Oh, yeah. Sexy time. We heard all about sexy time, I think is what she called it. You all are smiling and have, I know it's a lot and people have their opinions, but you all seem to have each other and have it together and know what you want to do. And so you all keep doing your thing, but thank you for taking some time with us. All right.
Absolutely. Okay. I appreciate it.
Thank you guys. I appreciate it. All it was right. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you. And well, you know, at the end of the show here, we often give our own our Instagram account. You can find us at Amy and TJ Podcast on Instagram. But we know that's probably not the first place you're going to go this podcast. You're going to go to OnlyFans.com/
Piper Fawn.
That's it.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.